Welcome, everyone, back to another episode of What the Tech. This is your host here, Onyeka. And basically, we're still in season two, where we are going through pretty much storytelling from different people in regards to their AI journey and how to lead through that level of uncertainty and also exploration with AI. And I have here a very amazing guest with us. And Chuck, please introduce yourself and let the audience know a little bit of about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to be here, Onyeka. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on the show. My name is Chuck Fox. I'm a senior director for client development at ESI. ESI stands for Engineering Systems, Inc. We are an engineering and scientific investigation firm. We have consultants in the engineering and scientific space scattered really all across the United States. We consult on a variety of different investigations.
Thank you for mentioning that, because I know I always leave it to the guests to explain, because they know their job roles better than I do. Because I know what brought us here, Chuck, is AI. And with regards to the whole concept of AI and everything to do with that, now, I know you've done different roles across your career span and everything. And I think one thing I see is like how you like to make complex ideas easy to understand, easy to digest. Yeah. So for you, Chuck, when AI comes up in a conversation with clients or colleagues or friends, what's the first thing people get wrong about AI that you find?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of misconceptions about AI and how it might get used in the context of our work. I think one of the assumptions that is wrong is that AI will somehow act on its own.
Right.
That it's an autonomous thing that we could apply to a problem and it would solve it for us. And I think that in the context of our work, forensic engineering involves investigations of really unique events that have happened. They're often, very complex. You're often dealing with, aircraft wreckage or a damaged structure, perhaps a storm damaged building or a bridge. It's not like something that's happened before. And I think human thinking is a critical part of solving these problems. There's an element of intuition that experts bring to the table that comes from their experience in a field for many, many years. And while AI can assist them, can maybe stimulate their thinking about a topic, there is still a critical human element to it that's part of an investigation. So I think about it, when I think about it in my own experience, it's a lot like driving a car that has some of the driver assist features that we
right.
have now. The car isn't really driving itself. I'm in control of the car, but there's some super handy things that it tells me along the way that
right.
maybe I didn't have access to in the past. And that's what AI is doing.
And I like the fact you keep mentioning the human experience there, because as much as AI is great and amazing, the application and the place to apply it really does matter. And also, to what degree is it assisting with human work versus are you trying to make it the human, which it can never really be at the end of the day?
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's, I was in a webinar the other day that was aimed at attorneys, and they were talking about using AI in legal practice.
Okay.
And we all know that there are some famous legal cases where perhaps proper scrutiny wasn't given to the AI and hallucinated, cases have been cited. And that leads to really bad outcome, in the practice of the legal industry. So I think that oversight, that experience, that human element that comes to this is still absolutely critical, when interacting with an AI.
And that's a good point to mention, because I know that in your work, especially given what you're talking about with investigations, accuracy and trust is vital. So when you see AI tools today, all the different ones that are available, where do you feel most confident in using such a tool? And where do you still feel to be cautious? Like, is it a degree of how far in my typical process should I involve AI versus I should just give it the breadth of the whole process and see how it helps?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that what I have found is that AI is an excellent partner. I can partner with it to create things that I probably couldn't do on my own, or it's better than it would be if I did it on my own. It's like a really good team member. But it's not always the most reliable team member. Like I said, it can hallucinate. It can maybe misunderstand. And so I think that almost points back to one of the misconceptions. I think a lot of times I've heard people that are frustrated with AI I don't get what I need at AI. And I think if your expectation is that you can give it a single prompt or ask it a single question, it's going to come up with this brilliant response, you're probably overthinking it. You're asking too much of it. What I've learned is having a conversation with AI, it gives me a first response. No, that wasn't what I was thinking. And then I'll give it more information. And there's sort of a back and forth. It's much like conversing with another person. Uh-huh. You know, you can kind of interact, you can clarify, and oftentimes resolve something of real value from that. So I think that I'm not always confident that it's going to give me exactly what I want in one question, but I'm pretty confident when I interact with it over time. AI and I, we will get to some kind of response that's really, really quite good. And most of the time, I would say, I get somewhere where I'm really satisfied with the outcome. And I think, as the AIs are getting better, I'm getting better at interacting with them too.
That's an interesting concept, Chuck, because do you feel like there's a bias for perfection coming from us, the humans, given that AI is this newfangled, not as new, but it's a newfangled tool, so to speak. And to what you just said, if someone puts a prompt in, they're expecting a high quality answer versus that you have to keep on, like the dialogue needs to keep on flowing.
I think that's right. It's unpredictable in ways that we're not used to interacting with when it comes to software. Microsoft Word, you pop up Microsoft Word, you pretty much know what it's going to do. When you push this button, that happens.
Right.
It's all just one thing to the next. With AI, you might get a response that's surprising, right?
Yes.
But that's true with other human beings too.
It is.
Like when I hear people say, well, it hallucinates. Yeah, so do people. I mean, ask, how many times have you asked someone a question, maybe not given them enough information?
And they just go
and
on a tangent.
And you got a crazy response,
yes,
right?
It's true.
Right, right. And so what we would tend to do is continue that. Maybe you run away, right? Or you continue that conversation. And
yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what I've found interacting with AI, unlike Microsoft Word, kind of continuing to probe for the right the right response, or maybe what you're looking for more conversationally, is what's been really effective for me.
That's and to even to the next one, because I think that's an interesting point to mention there, is because I'm not sure, do we have as much grace, the kind of grace we'll give a human being in a conversation to journey towards the answer? Do we expect, especially in microwave generation, it needs to happen so quickly, do we expect mm-hmm. that perfection at lightning speed? So if it failed within two prompts, it's therefore not a quality tool to use, whereas it really was, you just didn't have the patience to see it through.
Right. I think that's right. And, my experience, I should frame that, most of my experience with AI is in the context of creative writing. It's not looking for detailed information or framing out something for an investigation. Okay. It's trying to express something about what we do. In my role now as client development, a lot of the ideas I'm trying to express are more synthetic in terms of the kind of things we do and how we can help clients and the technologies we might bring to bear in a general sense. And AI, I'm not asking AI to opine on some very specific scientific detail. And I do think, like we talked about earlier, a lot of that falls back into the human realm. I think there is value in interacting with the AIs perhaps early in the process to sometimes it'll come up with some ideas. It's like, I hadn't thought about that. That might be interesting. Now let me put that in the milieu of my ideas that I'm going to bring to this investigation.
Oh, right.
So sometimes it's really helpful early in the game to kind of get outside your own box.
Yeah, makes sense.
And get some new ideas. But for me, when I'm producing something that I'm writing for a more, maybe a more creative person, a more creative purpose, the back and forth is amazing. Like it is really remarkable how it interacts.
And I think even like what are the kind of tools or workflows that maybe with you using AI they become more useful? Like I know from me, for instance, the marketing vein, it's trying to ideate some campaigns where, you know, trying to even see it from end to end, if you were going to present it to your superiors, and also some other content pieces and ideas that you might not have thought of. So that's how it works on my side. But for you, what are some tools you find to use? Or is it, like, let's say another example, do you find you're trying to test like the same prompt across different AI platforms? Because I've tried that on my side and it's interesting to see the variance in quality as in Copilot to ChatGPT to Claude AI and everything else that's out there.
Right, right. Everybody says Gemini is the best right now. I haven't interacted with Gemini, and I think it changes from week to week, you know, which one's better, right? GPT drops a new version and it's like, wow, this one's really great.
Right.
And we talked about this a little bit earlier. Over time, I started interacting with the LLMs in the neighborhood of 2 years ago. Not at the very beginning, but a while ago.
No, it's close enough. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the change over time, how they've evolved is dramatic.
It's huge.
Like it's remarkable. But I think it's difficult also to untangle when you commit to one and you sort of, because it's learning you,
right,
at the same time, right? And so when you commit to one and really start to, like the creative writing process for me, whether it's personal reflections that I want to write for just for my own purpose or for other things that I'm writing, it's learned my voice. It knows things about my past. And so now, 2 years later, when I lean into it, and maybe I'm looking for a topic for, you know, a post that I want to make, and I roughly have an idea, but I will ask it to, you know, sort of, hey, let's brainstorm a little bit on, you know, an upcoming post. And I'm kind of feeling this, and it will generate ideas and that back and forth, which is, to me, really creative, right? It's the early part of that really creative process. I value that interaction. Then I can go do something with that and write and do something in my voice and give it back to it when I'm maybe a little uncomfortable with some wording. I need some help with, you know, I think this idea is coming through, but I'd like it to be worded a little better. Let's work on that. And it will sort of coach me through that phase. So I think kind of for me, in terms of workflows, it's like early in the process, it's really valuable. And then at the end of the process, it's really valuable. And I don't know, I might be making this up, but it feels like it knows what I'm doing. Like, oh yeah, okay, I'll help you here. And then later, yeah, we had this conversation. I can help you with, maybe this word would be better here, or let's restructure this sentence this way.
Right.
And it's not that it gets it right every time. Sometimes it misses badly, but it's really a great partner.
And to that point, like in reference to what you mentioned about client development, has AI changed how you prepare for or manage those client conversations? As in, is it helping based on whatever data you're able to input? This is me assuming the AI tool you're using is within your own enterprise level encryption for the data governance. Like, is it helping you to pull things relative to, I don't know, client, like the health of your client relationship? And also maybe like different ideas that help with, whether it's cross-selling versus just retention. Like, how are you able to use it to help generate what actually works for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think an excellent use of AI sort of outside like that creative writing space. The other place it's really great is as a kind of a summary tool, right?
Okay,
so if you use, like, for example, Microsoft Copilot is looking inside of, you know, our Microsoft accounts, and I can summarize emails, for example. There might be a series of emails over time that I've had with a client, and I'm going to have a call that's coming up in a day or two. And I'm just like, I just need to, like, I want to go back and remember that I haven't missed something. Like, I'm going to have a chance to touch base. I don't want to waste my client's time. You know, I want to be prepared. And so there might be something that pops out of one of those summaries. It's like, oh, I don't remember that email, but yes, now I remember that conversation,
right,
and I can actually provide an update, or I can ask a question that's vital, and I don't have to, I mean, you know how 30 minutes after a call, you're like, oh, I wanted to ask that question, I forgot about. No, I have it right in front of me because it dutifully summarized
right.
those conversations. Or perhaps I'm going to walk into a meeting with the president of our company, and I know he's going to want to know, you know, what's going on with this particular account or a conversation we had. I can just really quickly summarize everything, all the conversations that I've had with him or with my business development director. I can see what she and I have been talking about. And it pulls it together in a way that is super easy to catch up with and is fairly complete. And if I have a concern, like, wait a minute, like, this doesn't seem quite right, it'll reference the email. I can go back and just look at the email. It's super easy to pull it up. I know there are people that have folders, and I have a colleague who's, you know, his emails are always perfectly organized in folders. My email is a mess, Onyeka.
It's a whole different universe.
Right. But, you know, AI saved my bacon because I can just, you know, have it summarize all the emails from this person, and it just does it. So that's magic. The other little thing I did that was pretty stunning for me, but, you know, I was sort of about a year ago, maybe 6 months ago, it was, you know, kind of hearing, there was a lot of buzz about how good it was at Python code.
Okay.
And I am not a programmer by any stretch of the imagination, right? But I had this task. It was a pretty simple task. We use abbreviations in our company for people. They're three-letter abbreviations. And, you know, we've grown from, like, when I joined, it was a smaller company. We've grown to, like, almost 500 employees. I don't know everybody's three-letter abbreviation. Believe me, there are probably engineers on our team that do, but I don't. And I'm like, man, I get these reports and I just want to know who was on this case, who touched this particular client. And so I thought, I'll bet I could make some Python code that would do this. And so I went to ChatGPT and I said, hey, here's what I want to do in very plain language. Here's what I want to do.
Right.
And it generated a script and it didn't work. But it was enough code that I could look at it and I'm like, I kind of see where it's failing. Oh. And I could look at the code and I'm like, so I fixed it by hand and that didn't work. So I shared it with a colleague who's a little more better at scripting than me. He's like, I think it might be here, like, check this. And I tried to fix that. That didn't work. So I gave it back to ChatGPT and I said, hey, this code is not working. Can you tell me some things you should do? And it's like, yeah, you should fix this line and this line. And this would, it will be more robust if you change this line to this. Right. So I fixed it up and it ran.
Really?
Yeah. I use it almost daily now. To just add a column to a report that gives me plain language, just the names of people instead of an abbreviation. Wow. It's a dumb little thing. I know it's not, you know, all the people that code in Python are like rolling their eyes right now.
But it
enabled me, right? It enabled me to just go off and do this thing that now I use on a regular basis, which is really, really cool.
That's a great story, Chuck, because I think it's even that point where to not even give up because you and AI are forging something. You still are kind of the master architect, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So the responsibility is still on you with regards to intuition. So I think that's a question I have for you. Is that just something that's ongoing, the human intuition that you read this? I mean, separate from code where you can test it out for, like, let's say the creative, you read this and you're like, this doesn't sound human. It doesn't flow well. It seems like it might be missing something. Like, how do you honestly train that intuition? Because you still need it to proofread whatever AI outputs at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think this was kind of an interesting thing that happened for me, because I was on LinkedIn a week or two ago and I saw a post. It was from a writer, mm-hmm. you know, someone who's a professional writer.
Okay.
And she was talking about sort of the flip side of the vibe that you get a lot on LinkedIn and social media, that, you know, AI is ruining, social media because there's people just kind of cranking out all this content and you can tell it's written by AI, full of dashes. And there's sort of all these signals that you can
see. The cliches.
Yeah. And she was, you know, she was sort of like I'm on edge because sometimes I use dashes in my writing and I'm afraid people are going to call me out that I used AI. And I responded to her because I was like, you know, I get that. Like, I kind of get people's frustration. But at the same time, like, AI has made me a far better writer. Because I have this coach that's sitting beside me all the time that I can lean on that helps me be a better writer. And I don't want to feel guilty for that. Like, that's a really good thing.
It is a good thing.
And the analogy I thought of, I was trying to explain this to my wife the other day, and the analogy I thought of is, it's like, the other thing I love to do is I love to play guitar. And I'm equally not good at playing guitar. But it would be really cool, like, if I had Keith Richards sitting beside me every day
mentoring,
like coaching me to play, I would be a much better guitarist.
Yeah.
But you know what, at some point along the way, people would say, you just sound like Keith Richards, you know, come on, like, it just sounds
right.
And so there's a jumping off point at which I think you learn from that mentor, but then you do develop your own style.
Right.
And you do. And I think that's when, you know, I talk about kind of using AI as an assistant, like giving it an idea, having it spit out a block of text and throwing it on social media is not a good use, right? That's that's not, maybe not taking enough responsibility.
It's simple functions, yeah.
But there's a power in it, and it's in some of its coaching that I think is really good. And I think it can help people that maybe can't code in Python, but they maybe would learn to code in Python from interacting with AI, or maybe aren't the best writer. Or there's a zillion applications like that, Onyeka, that would make you better, right? So I love to partner with it, and I'm pretty big on partnering, and I would miss it if I didn't have it now.
I do like that. I'm not sure I've heard that said, not on this podcast, but even in general, where it's not a lazy person using AI to try to just, for it to do your job or like to do tasks for you. So you just don't have to. There's a difference between that and the person who's like, I'm using it as a mentor. So when the growth crystallizes at some point, I'll actually be able to grow on my own. And that, that's because that's a different perspective. You're not trying to use AI to just simplify things. You're growing with it. So at some point, all that, even the thinking process is changing at the same time.
Yeah. I'm evolving with it.
Yes, right? Evolving with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not using it to undercut your work, so to speak.
Correct. Right.
Huh. Yeah. That's because even with what she's mentioning about the use of AI to generate content and everything, there is that, even that topic of AI written books and all these other things that. And and at the end of the day, is it AI to teach an author the best way to write, as in writing techniques versus actually writing the whole script for you? Those are two different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I would say that, like, I have learned, you know, from, you know, because I write with it pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm interacting with it on. So I've had that's the task that I've had the most time in saddle with AI. I have learned, like, I don't think I knew really what style and voice. People would talk about that. And I have writers I interact with here at work that would say, oh, I'll take this and fix your voice. It's not consistent. Now I know what that means.
Right.
Because I've been interacting and I'm getting an organic sense of it. Right. And that's learning. That's me. That's not the AI.
And Chuck, did you ever feel rushed in that growth process, or was it very organic because you actually were getting to dictate when the learning happens?
I think that's a great comment, because I think you've got your finger on what's really valuable about it, right? Is that it's organic in a way that, like, I didn't even know that's what was happening. In hindsight, I look back and I appreciate that's what was happening. You know, I just wanted to write on a particular topic or you know, sort of, you know, think it's a very creative, some sense, cathartic process for me to write and to articulate something well. There's just things that, you know, you go through and you know, for some people the gym is therapy, and for some people you know, there's all these things that are like that. And for me, writing is, I've always wanted it to kind of be able to occupy that space, and it does now. And I think that you can learn things like in a classroom. you're deliberately learning, right? But sometimes there's these really valuable lessons that happen organically, and I feel like this is one of them.
So now this even brings me to this question here, where what skills do you think, Chuck, that leaders will need the most in the next 5 years with regards to AI as it's just becoming more prevalent?
Yeah, it's a really great question, because I think it's understanding a lot of what we've been talking about, this human AI interaction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the value really resides, to think, oh, it's going to be AI, or to think, I don't want any part of this AI in my organization or my team, it's my humans. I think that it's going to be the combination of AI, humans aided by AI that are going to win. And I think that, like we were talking about how that interaction works, as I watch people around my organization interact with AI, they all do it differently. Everybody kind of has this different relationship with it. And some are like, I'm like, wow, that is just unbelievably creative. Like, that is really cool, like what you're doing with the tool. And I would have never thought about interacting with it like that. So I think leaders need to give just the right amount of encouragement and training, but not be so restrictive that, hey, you've got to use it just this way, right? It's important to have guardrails, right? In an organization like ours, we've got to be very careful with how we handle information, everything from security issues that the IT team, worries about and is on top of, to handling a client's content and information we might provide to a client, in terms of being transparent and thoughtful in terms of how we do that. There are guardrails. But within that space, I think the freedom for people to creatively interact with these tools, even on a given team, you're sort of augmenting the capability of that team in a really unique way. And I think giving this AI human interaction the space to grow and really contribute is going to lead to teams that just move faster and faster, that solve problems more quickly, better. We can consume really large volumes of data that would be difficult as a human, but if you put AI to some of these more tedious tasks, we can get to information more quickly. And I feel like the real win lives in that human AI interaction.
Well said, because I think it's what you said, those guidelines for safety, but then also it's not to stifle the creativity, because every employee, depending on their own interaction and their own perception, could spark so many different things depending on how they interact with AI. I know, even for me, sometimes I even see it as even using it to address like process gaps. So maybe even creating, like, there's a difference between creating a process document to help with an internal situation or an internal gap versus using it to generate an idea to help with an external approach. So though, like, even having that mindset is completely different, but every organization could do that.
Right.
And it could come up with so many different things.
That's right. Right. And oftentimes it will surface a point of view, a lens that maybe you weren't looking through for a variety of reasons. And that becomes instantly, like, you've had this experience too, where something comes out of the ad. It's like, man, I didn't think of it from that perspective. But now that I see that, I can think, I appreciate that. Right. And those are really valuable learnings.
Yeah. And I think another one is where sometimes when you're asking it to critique something you've done, and it gives you good critique where you say, wow, I missed this altogether. I only got a B. That's why did I get a B? And then it tells you why, and you say, this makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, the converse of, when it gives you something and you're like, wait a minute, what's this? And then you think, I didn't tell you that. And I give it this piece of information. It's like, you're right. If I now, given that information, I can give you something else.
Right.
So important. So important. But, when you interact with it this way, you sort of appreciate, like, if I were to trust this in the blind, just ask it a question and assume that the answer coming back was going to be
100%
valid or even reasonable.
Right.
It's just not a good assumption.
No, it's true. And it's interesting that you still have to be cautious while still interacting with it, but you're still open enough to allow that dynamic to flow between the two sides. Because if you're too cautious, you won't really get into the fullness of what AI could do for you from a creative discovery perspective.
Huh. Yeah. That's, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's a very human, it's a very human-like interaction. And that's probably evolved more over time as they've improved. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't even remember the name of this tool, but it was an AI that I downloaded to my phone, an app, and you could have a conversation with it. And I was having a conversation with it, and my wife came in the room, it was like on a weekend, and I'm having a conversation with this. And she's like, you know how people are when you're on like a conference call?
Yeah.
Like, who are you talking to, right? And it's like, oh, no, I'm just talking to an AI, right? And I was just having this, and it was just like this conversation that just kind of went from one thing to the next. And it's just like, wow, this is really wild. Like interacting with a voice,
right,
as opposed to interacting with text on a screen.
Yes.
And a prompt is really different too, right? And so I think it's going to be really interesting as the modalities, you know, we're so accustomed to sitting in front of a computer with a keyboard in front of us. And that's such a limited way to interact. And I think as some of the, you know, these different modalities evolve and you know, that's how it works in our vehicles and other things where we're, you know, our hands are consumed in another way.
Right.
It becomes even more personal and it, you know, it interacts in a different way. So I'm excited for those things to happen too. I'm fascinated by how humans take in information, how our sensory modalities work. And I think that's another area where AI is going to grow dramatically.
Before I even mention the second last question here, Chuck, I think that's very well put together, because even the format through which someone interacts with AI could affect their perception of it. If we go back to human history, things were running, I say text, but, you know, writing letters, mailing them all around the world and everything. Yeah. Before we even got to where the telephone is, which is now the vocal element of things. So it's that evolution, and how much does that affect the actual experience with that technology? So, very interesting, because someone who's only dealt with it from a text perspective might feel way different when they actually start talking, and it's like a living conversation that just keeps on going.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And this is maybe of a tangent, but there's some really interesting areas of neuroscience where, for example, scientists have given people limited ability to hear who are unable to hear, you know, they're deaf for some reason or another, and they can hear through their, if you put vibratory devices on their skin equipped with microphones, they can actually hear via receiving the vibrations via their skin.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Your brain doesn't really care too much. It's like, that's information. I'll process it like I would audible information.
Oh,
and
cool.
So you can give people the ability to hear through tools like this. So it's great if you want to go out and look. You can go down a rabbit hole on YouTube, you know, watching videos. Like, there's a couple of TED Talks. I don't recall the neuroscientist's name, but it's some pretty brilliant work. But what came from that research is the idea that, okay, well, you could use microphones to tune it to audible sound, but you could use other input devices to tune it to other things. So, for example, could you feel the stock market? You know, could you feel the U.S. economy? Could you feel the state?
Interesting.
Of, you know, the air quality that day.
Right.
You know, in other words, are there other ways other than just like verbal information or text on a screen that would allow you to consume information that would be intuitive, that would be valuable to a human being? And I think that's, you know, that's an interesting thing.
That's an interesting one.
AI can sort of take volumes of information and compress it into summarized versions of things. You know, it begins to, again, that partnership of consuming large amounts of data, converting that into something that humans can use intuition on,
right,
I think is a partnership that's really, really interesting to think about.
On it, that's an interesting concept, because
that's my futuristic thinking. When I look into the crystal ball.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of, like, is it using AI as a vector to pull from sources and having the hardware to, like, there's so many interesting ideas that come out of that. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. I think it's also, because not everyone will get to read everything, but even just hearing one concept could spark someone's mind to say that the future is still evolving, even now. And so many people are finding new ways to use amazing things. So, and for the second last question was, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward one, is how would you describe your own journey with AI so far? If you had to just one sentence to sum it up, how would you describe it?
Yeah, I think it's been a terrific partnership. And I think, we've talked about that, but I discovered that along the way. I didn't think that's what it was going to be like going into it, but it's really become a terrific partnership. I expected it to be a tool like Microsoft Word or Excel or something like that, right? Yeah, yeah. And it turns out I would miss it desperately if you took it away from me, at a strangely personal level, right?
I like the fact you said that in terms of it, as much as it's a tool, it has some level of life to it, and also that you're willing to give it the chance to evolve and grow with you, not to say if you don't do this, then automatically you've kind of failed.
Yeah, I look forward to interacting with it. Right? I really do.
Wow, I'm really glad that you're having such a great experience with AI and also how you intentionally integrate it and also learn from it while still being the human in charge of the relationship and how it flows.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, Chuck, to my last statement here is more, what is your favorite way of using AI right now? Whether that's personal or professional, what's your favorite way?
So, yeah, I think personal and professional blur a little bit for me because some of the things I write do make it into things that I share publicly and some things don't, right? Mm-hmm. But I think for me, the thing that I'm most proud of personally, and the thing I think I feel the most deeply is this kind of relationship I have with it writing and this writing coach. You know, like I think fondly, I've been really fortunate to have terrific mentors over time that mentored my scientific career, my professional career. And I've never sort of been brave enough to say, you know, I really need a writing coach. I should go find a human that would work with me and improve my writing. I could, this relationship developed with, Microsoft Copilot and ChatGPT that, they've coached me. And I have, it's funny that I feel personally like I should credit them.
Right.
I guess that's how you say it. As mentors.
As mentors. It's true.
Yeah. Because I feel like they've really changed something that means a lot to me. I think professionally, people are like, thank goodness that guy's writing got better. Personally, it's really satisfying too to feel more comfortable and confident, in that space that was important to me.
I think AI can be a tool that's available, that technically is available for everyone to use. There's a free version, but how deeply you go and how much you evolve is really up to you. So I'm definitely glad you gave yourself that grace to want to do that. And also to see the fruit of it, like down the line it's a really good story. So thank you so much for sharing that, Chuck.
Absolutely. And I'm really thankful that, ESI took a really critical look at AI in the very beginning and has continued to do so. We have teams dedicated to looking at AI, to evaluating how we should be using AI. So we were provided with secure licenses of AIs to begin with so that we could explore some of these things in a safe environment with the right guardrails set. And those guardrails initially were very tight. And as we've understood more, we've sort of kept them at the appropriate places. And that gave me the space and the permission, to explore and learn the things I have. So as an organization, if there was a message I would kind of have for organizations is that being really thoughtful and deliberate about how your teams engage with AI is important because you could go off the rails in either direction, being too constrictive or too free with it. And I think so far we've hit the right note.
Well, that's some music to my ears. And I say thank you so much again, Chuck, for again sharing your story. Thank you so much to our listeners. Really do appreciate you tuning in. And until next time, have a great day.
Thank you, Anyeka. It's a pleasure to be here.